Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. So in 2017, I was serving as an Air Force First Sergeant. Our motto in that role is my job is people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jakimick, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out devilradio927.com.
You know what it is.
Hiya, hiya, hiya. Hiya, hiya, hiya.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So as goes the U.S., we are, let's get an update. We are 4 minutes into the USA versus Iran World Cup game, the must win, have to win game. Have you been watching the World Cup?
I have dipped in and out a little bit. My husband is certainly watching. My husband is English.
And so he's obviously, was he very upset with the English USA draw?
No.
No, he would didn't care?
You know, he doesn't get emotional, which I really like about him as much, because he used to play soccer. He was a semi-professional soccer player at one point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, until he was injured. Anyway, so for as into it as he is, he doesn't live and die by it, which always makes me happy.
That is right? Relief. Well, it was interesting because I saw a video of English fans watching the game in some kind of public area. And for them, what it seemed like, a draw with us felt like a loss to them.
Oh, dear.
Because I think they were expected to win. They're obviously ranked higher than us. But that was exciting. But it makes us, since we have 2 draws right now, we have to win this game to move on.
It's win it or go home.
And I've certainly had fun watching the 2 games so far. Now that we're back at work, when we were on vacation, we kept finding different bars that were playing it. And that was really fun. Now that I'm back at work, it's hard to watch the games that are happening every day. But I did not grow up playing soccer. This was our family was much, we were a basketball family.
Right.
My brother played fairly competitive, baseball, football, basketball. I think I played soccer until I was like 6. And I was like, I'm not very good at this.
But it's a much bigger deal now.
It's a much bigger deal. I mean, it's the biggest deal across the world, right?
Right. But I just mean here in the U.S., it's
totally.
In the last 15 years, I think soccer programs have just exploded.
Yeah. And I maintain that I think it will be interesting over the next 40 years. I think we are such a big country. You know, we're the 3rd biggest country in the world, and we have so many unbelievable athletes, but a lot of those get funneled into different sports besides soccer/football. A lot of them go to American football, but as that sport becomes American football, less children choosing to go that route because of head injuries and all these things.
Right.
Like, it'll be interesting to see if there's more and more generations of young men, because I mean, if you look at our women's soccer team, they're dominant.
They are.
And I think part of that is the landscape of women's sports and the options of becoming a professional athlete as a woman and what's lucrative. And I think there's been more of a pathway for that than there has been with soccer in this country and, you know, football. And I think it's always seemed, when you're a kid and you're watching what kind of athlete you want to be and who you're looking up to, American football is so dominant here that it becomes a no-brainer that that's what you want to go do.
Sure.
But I wonder how much that is shifting. And I also think what will be interesting over the next couple weeks is some of the headlines. Because, you know, my NFL plays on 3 days a week, Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. And going up against the ratings, like the ratings of American football versus football, and what will turn out there, is, I think, is an interesting matchup, because this world event usually happens in the summer.
But they couldn't.
This is a first for the World Cup happening next to Christmas during the holidays, because over 10 years ago in 2010, FIFA just chose Qatar. Have we decided if it's Qatar or Qatar?
I think Qatar? It's Qatar.
With a lot of controversy, and because it is in the middle of the desert, it would be too hot to play there during the summer. And so thus, in order to have this be the host country, they needed to move it to November. So it is the first time that these two major sporting events in Americans' eyes are going head-to-head. I have not seen numbers yet of how that's played out over this last weekend since the World Cup started. But that is only one of many controversies that has plagued the FIFA, Qatar, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, if we just do kind of a rundown list summary for anyone who is not privy to what this has been. So bribery. So I think that first and foremost, when this first got announced, there is a lot of accusations, if not corroboration, as far as FIFA getting straight up bribed into making Qatar the host country.
Yeah, giving it to Qatar.
Then there's the entire, you know, when you host an event of this magnitude, you need to build lots of infrastructure to host this many people, this many games. I mean, to put this into context, in 2026, the next host country is North America, which is not a country. Those are three countries. So it's games, all the games are split between, I think there's nine, I could be wrong, there's around nine U.S. cities, there's two Canadian cities, and there's two or three Mexican cities. So, and Qatar is a tiny little country. It's right. Like a little nub on Saudi Arabia. And so in the preparation of trying to be able to host this, there's a lot of controversy over how many migrant workers have died.
This is for building the stadium in Qatar.
Yes. And since 2010, 6,500 migrant workers had died in Qatar since it was awarded. And there's just a lot of human rights issues around that, of taking people's passports, because it was migrant workers who were not, you know, they're not from Qatar. They traveled there to work for employment, and a lot of them were worked to death and were not allowed to leave. And so that is another one. On top of that, obviously, I think a lot of the things that we've been seeing is attitudes towards LGBTQ people, and tons of people who have been, I know some of the European teams wanted to wear rainbow arm guards.
Right.
That said, if you do that, we're going to sanction you. I think anyone wearing a rainbow t-shirt has not been allowed to go into the stadium.
There were people wearing t-shirts that were pro-woman related.
That's Iranian. The Qatar is standing with the Islamic Republic of Iran on those protests. And so there's that. It's, as we said, it's a desert. This is not necessarily the most habitable environment to play many games of a very athletic sport. And I guess just even going to the matches is not great. I have a friend who's there right now,
so I'll be very interested.
And he's Iranian. And so today, I think he lives in here, but he was born. He's lived in Iran until he was 20. So I don't know how much mix of emotions he has today, or if he's just very much cheering for Iran. But he's there right now. And I'm interested to hear from him, because what was it, 2 days before the event even started, but they was told that there will be no beer. So Budweiser is now like, well, I guess we will give $75 million worth of beer to the winning country.
Isn't that insane?
And so my question is, I think for my question is this. So first, have you been watching the World Cup despite the controversy? If yes, why? And if no, why? And the no might be, I just don't care about soccer. But I think this is interesting, because There is so much. There's so much there. It's not a great list. This is not a good list. And yet it is. I mean, in 2018, 3.5 billion people watched, tuned into the World Cup. I mean, now that we've just passed 8 billion people, it's a little less than half of the world watches this event. And despite this laundry list of controversies, I'm still watching.
I think most people are still watching.
You know, and it's this groupthink mentality for things that are so fun and in so many ways are very uniting. And it's, you know, you start, if USA doesn't make it past today, knock on wood, you know, choosing the underdog of who you are, the team that you want to choose. I typically choose the underdog, you know, and the stories that come out in the same way we get so excited about March Madness or
the Olympics.
But even I feel like this is even more fun than the Olympics, which might be a controversial statement. But so if you're watching the World Cup, do you have any moral tingly feelings about knowing that this is not great, but you're like, I'm still going to watch? Or are you protesting? Or are you just not watching because...
That's your protest.
You don't... Well, no, because you just don't care
about...
You're like, I don't care about soccer. But we want to hear from you because I think this is... It's obviously a world event that has a lot of... A lot of headlines around it. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Are you watching the World Cup? And then probably if you're watching the World Cup, you might not be listening to this show right now. So
we
may not get many people who are paying attention to this segment because I just realized that they're probably watching the game.
People can multitask, Kristen. They can. Well, they don't need to listen to the announcers. They can listen to us.
They can listen to both.
And watch the game.
Well, as of right now, it's still 0-0.
Nil-nil.
The live win probability, according to Google, is we have a 53, U.S. has a 53% chance of winning. There's a 27% chance of draw. And Iran has 20% chance of winning.
Oh, no kidding.
And so we've had two shots already. Shots on target is one. And we have had 69% possession of the game so far. So it's a long game. We will keep this posted. But one thing that is interesting, because I mean, beyond the Qatar controversy, obviously the Iranian team is playing while month two?
Yes.
Of the protests that are happening in Iran over women's rights. And there have been, I mean, the team chose to not sing the national anthem in their first game against England.
And you just have to wonder what they're going to come home to.
Well, and this is what I was at the break as we were prepping for this segment. This is from Pop Bass, which I guess is, I don't know who this is. They're verified, but on Twitter, what does that even mean anymore? Pop Bass is your best source for all pop culture related entertainment news, award show coverage, chart updates, etc. So they said Iran officials threatened the families of their players with violence and torture before their World Cup match against the USA, warning the players to, quote, behave. Iran players had previously shown support for protesters in their country by refusing to sing its national anthem. And that is, they sang today.
They sang today.
They did.
Well, that's, yeah.
And, you know, and it's interesting because I think we'll take a break and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we come back. Because I think there was a question from an Iranian reporter to an American player yesterday that I think deserves a little bit more conversation. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM The Shaw.
Hump Day equals Greg Bock Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 23 overnight under overcast skies. Westerly winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs around 28. Tomorrow night, lows around 16. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Thursday with highs around 35. 46 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are still 0-0 in the Iran-USA game.
0-0.
0-0. Is that what Paul says?
It's 0-0.
It's 0-0.
Yes.
It's not 0-0.
It's not 0.
It's 0-0.
Yes.
But I will not get a chance to watch any of this game. Because I think so, if an hour and a half, if it starts at 1, it'll be done a little before 3. We'll get done, but I have multiple meetings, so I'm not sure we'll be able to watch it. I really hope they win so we can watch more games. And I will continue to watch no matter what. And we were asking the audience, are you watching the World Cup? But then we realized that anyone who's watching the World Cup may not be listening right now. But I think if you're someone who has decided not to watch the World Cup, is it because of the controversy or is it because you just don't care about soccer?
I just think, Kristen, that, I mean, look at the NFL. Mm-hmm. And the number of times on video we have seen players beating their girlfriends or mm-hmm. dragging them by the hair or dragging them downstairs. And the NFL says, we're going to address domestic violence and we're going to, you know, do things different. And they don't follow through on that. And nobody cares until the next time they catch a player on video being abusive or something like that. And then it's a thing. Mm-hmm. And then it dies down and people let it go. So I don't know. I think the emotion over the love of your team is going to overshadow all these other human rights abuses and other considerations.
Well, also just the corruption of FIFA in general.
In general.
And so, but it was interesting because I also think that, so I heard this driving into work today and I had missed it. It had happened yesterday. And it's an interesting point, but I also feel like in knowing if this is true, if this gets reported on more widely, that the families of the Iranian players were told that if you protest again, we're going to torture your family. And we think about the times American athletes have used their platform to protest. Colin Kaepernick, the 70 what Olympics when they raised their fist, you know, just in general, the ability to be an athlete and have freedom of speech. And people cannot like it. People can, you know, talk radio shows like this can have endless amounts of segments of should people kneel for the national anthem and be very angry about it and not buy that person's uniform. But we still live in a country where your family is not going to be threatened to be tortured
if you protest.
And I do think, because let's play this clip really interesting, because I think it is an interesting point, but it's not the same level.
Tyler, this question is for you. My name is Mila Javamadi from Press TV. First of all, you say you support the Iranian people, but you're pronouncing our country's name wrong Our country is named Iran, not Iran. Please, once and for all, let's get this clear. Second of all, are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people in its own borders? And we saw the Black Lives Matter movements over the past few years. Are you okay to be representing the US? Meanwhile, there's so much discrimination happening against black people in America.
My apologies on the mispronunciation of your country. Yeah, that being said, you know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. You know, one thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures and kind of assimilate into different cultures, is that in the U.S. we're continuing to make progress every single day. You know, growing up for me, I grew up in a white family with an obviously an African American heritage and background as well. So I had a little bit of different cultures, and I was very easily able to assimilate in different cultures. So you know, not everyone has that ease and the ability to do that. And obviously, it takes longer to understand. And through education, I think it's super important. Like you just educated me now on the pronunciation of your country. So. Yeah, it's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing.
I thought for a young man, because that was probably a question he was not expecting to answer.
That's Tyler Adams, by the way.
And he is, I mean, as he referenced, he is a black man. And sounds like he was raised with white parents. And I thought he was pretty eloquent at a question that I'm sure he was not prepared to answer. And I think it's interesting to raise that question, because I think sometimes as the U.S., we historically have acted like the police of the world and, you know, spread democracy and spread our values and our morals, and while still having plenty of things that we do not get right in this country.
What do they say about people who throw stones at glass houses or something like that?
But I do think this is what is happening in Iran, and we probably don't even know just how bad it is.
Mm-hmm. And the same can be said for China.
And the threat, I mean, people are risking their lives. And I don't even know, as Americans these days, especially people from my background, even understand or comprehend what it is to put your life on the line for something bigger than yourself. Certainly people in this country from the civil rights movements and women's suffrage and so many different movements that were possible that created long-lasting cultural changes in our society put so much on the line. But it's felt like we've made a lot of progress in the last 100 years where that, for a lot of us, especially a lot of us white people, that has not been, it's hard to wrap our head around what it takes to make those kind of risky choices that could end up that you or your family dies. And certainly, I think the reporter brings up a good point as far as how do you feel representing your country when XYZ has happened? And I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think you can stay critical of your country and represent it. And that is the beauty of our country, is that many of us want to be critical of it while still being proud from being here. All right. On that note, let's take another break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This time for Africa.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back?
Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her quince's. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor. Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check. Talk to doctor now and share it.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my 2 kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at adoptuskids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So on this Giving Tuesday, we've been highlighting different organizations that you are excited about, people that you want to highlight, groups that you want to highlight that you should consider donating to, giving your time to. But now, for the next half hour, we wanted to highlight a local organization that you've probably heard of before, maybe have your own local chapter of. But Josh Barnacle, who is the Marketing and Communication Manager for St. Vincent de Paul Society of Waukesha County, is here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So, we were just talking at the break, and I have to admit that most of the time when I think of St. Vincent de Paul, I think of it as a place where you can donate stuff to or you can go thrift shopping at. But that is only part of the larger mission and programming, right?
Absolutely. And you're not far off. It's my first inspection of them was the same thing. I would go in and thrift shop and find cool, unique things. And that was my first experience to them as well. But yeah, St. Vincent de Paul is much, much more than that. There's so many different programs that we offer to the community, and they're all centered around helping the most needy at their times of most need. And the thrift stores are kind of the excellent vehicle for getting and generating funds to support those programs. We have like our summer lunch program where children who really rely on the hot lunch meals throughout the school year in order to, sustainably feed themselves throughout the year. They really use that as like a government type of subsidized form to really fill in those gaps. They don't have that during the summer because school is not in session. So it's something that we can provide to those struggling families of like, you make sure you have a meal, you have structure, you have that kind of routine that school helps to bring even when it's not in session. Our jail ministry programs really help trying to cut down recidivism. And one program that we have called Project Angel Tree, where a lot of the times people don't think that some of these incarcerated individuals, they have kids that they didn't do anything wrong. It's a victim of circumstance, and they deserve to have a good holiday and deserve to be able to celebrate as much as they can. So Project Angel Tree is a program that's focused on providing those kids presents and giving those incarcerated individuals an opportunity to talk to their kids. They're able to write a note and give a personalized address to their children for Christmas and give them that kind of connection that they wouldn't be able to get. And it's little programs like that on top of rental assistance and providing appliances and furniture for those in need. In a much other, domestic abuse situations, we're a resource for a lot of people that don't have any place left to turn. And it's entirely funded and supported by the generosity of the communities that we service.
And so you're obviously in the Waukesha St. Vincent de Paul. Is this the same for every St. Vincent de Paul as far as they have their programming and that programming is funded by the store?
Correct. The programs themselves may differ slightly, like certain ones will offer different programs that others don't, but they're all supported and funded in the same way through the generosity of people donating, whether that be financial support, clothing that they don't wear anymore, furniture that they've upgraded, things of that nature. As long as they can still be in serviceable and good cosmetic condition and would benefit somebody else, that's the kind of things that we take and we really appreciate because it helps us, once again, generate those funds to help those that are in need in the community.
Josh, I'm so impressed by that angel program that you just mentioned about, getting presents for the kids of people who are incarcerated, because I think they get forgotten. And I think people may not necessarily be sympathetic, which is tragic.
I completely agree. It's a thing that's often overlooked, and they don't deserve that. They deserve to be able to be kids and enjoy themselves and have that special holiday time. And everyone in their life has made mistakes before. Like, no one is free of that. So, but they haven't even had the opportunity to have that happen to them, and they deserve to be able to have a good holiday season. And it's become kind of like my personal pet project. Like, it's one of my favorite programs because of that. And it's really special. So I really like to talk about it whenever I can.
Well, this is a great opportunity to talk about it. And so, for people who are now maybe feeling inspired to give in one way or another, I guess the first thing is when you donate stuff, what limitations, you just said cosmetically still works, but like, what are the limitations of this is not your dumping ground? But what should people keep in mind when they're thinking, they're going through stuff, they're getting rid of stuff, and what can be donated and what you should just get rid of.
Yeah. absolutely.
Throw away.
There's always a fine line there, but generally speaking, we're looking for things that are in good working or cosmetic condition. We are also very sensitive to pet dander and smoke smells, because there's a lot of people that have allergies for those things, and efficiently cleaning them for us is something we can't always promise. So those are things that we tend to shy away from, but the amount of things that we do accept and can be useful to us and to others that come and shop in our locations is pretty vast. The main things that we wouldn't take are like mattresses if they've been used before, things that fabrics and textiles that are very difficult to clean like properly are things that we would mostly shy away from. But I think you'd be surprised by the amount of things that can be donated and are useful and beneficial to people.
So. Does that include, Josh, things like dishes and flatware and, you know, you get a new set of knives for Christmas and now I have a block of pretty good knives that I could, you know, give away. Do you take things like that too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And clothing, electronics, as long as they're still functioning, hard goods, which would be, you know, dishware, dinnerware, all kinds of different odds and ends of like home goods that we kind of categorize that as. We are open to taking pretty much anything and everything outside of, if you don't want it on your shelf or you don't want it in your house for some reason, we probably don't want it either, unless it's just like a I've upgraded situation or, you know, something like that.
It doesn't spark joy anymore.
Thank you, Marie Kondo.
Yeah, like Someone else should get joy from this thing. It no longer gives me any. Exactly.
If you wouldn't give it to like your child sending them to college, if it's below that bar, we probably should consider a recycling or a disposal service.
So besides donating stuff, what are other ways people can help St. Vincent de Paul? Is it volunteering? Is it monetary donations?
I mean, monetary donations are always king. They help the most because we're able to help extend some of the dollars where if you were to go out and buy something, we're able to work within different discounts and other beneficiaries where we can make that dollar stretch significantly more. So it's always beneficial that way. But time is just as important. Even just coming into the store and helping us sort things, price things, put things on shelves. We have our book department is almost entirely run by volunteers. Everything's kind of automated through a computer there, so they're able to scan things, put the prices on it. They organize everything so well. Mark and Ruth Ann are great. I love them dearly. I love all of our volunteers, but I get to see them almost every day, so they're kind of special to me personally. But yes, volunteering your time is just as important and just as impactful as donating dollars. But yeah, there's so many different ways you can help out, both at the store level or at a council level at your local church conference, which we have 26 throughout the county. So yeah.
Great.
We spoke with someone, Josh, from Feeding America of Eastern Wisconsin, Southeastern Wisconsin, last week, and she had talked about how much the volunteers get out of it. And for some of these people who are retired and maybe a little bit more isolated or don't have a lot of family, this really becomes a second family for folks.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a great way for them to share their own personal strengths and gifts that they've had throughout their life to benefit others. But then there's also that sense of family and community that comes with it, where you have people that you can talk to every day and you have a renewed purpose, because what you're doing is directly helping people in the area that you live in. And it's part of the reason I go to work every day.
How long have you been working there?
I've been there for, it was 8 years in November.
Wow.
So we're working on the decade. We're getting there.
You get a gold watch.
No, not a donated gold watch. I get another pat on the back, but that's about it. But
so going into the holiday season, are there unique challenges that always pop up around this time of year?
Absolutely. I mean, there's need throughout the year, but during the holidays, especially once things get colder, we work with different shelters around the area to be able to provide coats and things, and those are always incredibly, incredibly necessary once the temperatures start dropping. And there's always that influx during this time of year where giving is even more important and more special, just because of the season that it is. And a lot of the needs start to arise here. And St. Vincent de Paul is one of the other only organizations that's allowed to pay other people's utility bills.
Oh, interesting.
You know how they always ask you that question of like, are you sure this is you logging in to pay your bill? Where you're like, yeah, I make the joke all the time of like, please let somebody else pay my bill. I would love that. St. Vincent de Paul is one of the people that can actually do that. Very instrumental in preventing utility shutoffs for people, providing rental assistance, and really just helping people get back on their feet. And that happens a lot during this time of year as well, when once again it gets cold and you do not want that heat getting turned off, especially if you have small children. And we're one of the resources that prevents that from happening to people.
So is your job as the marketing communications person, what is the balance between the so we'll say fundraising side of it. And that encompasses getting people to donate money, donate stuff, volunteer. And then also the marketing and communication side of people knowing what resources are available if they need them.
It's a difficult balance.
Yeah.
And up until probably about a year ago, it's been mildly separated, where okay. the programs were kind of in charge of doing that themselves, and I was strictly on the store side. And we've started to merge a little bit more, and I've been able to put a little bit more of my creative energy into getting notice out for some of these programs. And I mean, as far as resources go, the stores get a lot of questions about, I'm in need of assistance. Where can I go? What can I do? And since I handle all of the online and social media presence, I've had a hand in directing those people. Mm-hmm. So by proxy, I've become very involved with how majority of our programs work and that information. So I've been putting that out in as many different social media avenues as I can, working with a lot of other local organizations, like the Hope Center, which is not too far from where we are recording this right now, and other organizations like that in the area, like La Casa Esperanza, not too far from here, with employment services and things like that. So it's just getting the message out to as many people and in many ways as possible, because everybody kind of gets information in their own personal little way.
Yeah.
So this wide a net as I can to let people know where they can find help.
Because I always think about that in the sense of, we're so used to being, a lot of us are computer literate now, and we get information through social media or through websites, and not realizing that there's a lot of people who don't have access to, I mean, they can use the library computers or whatever, but like actually still having the bulletin board and like the actual physical stuff, or considering how to reach people who don't necessarily have the phone or the laptop or whatever. And so it was such an interesting, that was why I was asked it, because I was, how do you reach the people who need this most?
We do still a good amount of traditional print media, because for the exact reasons that you stated, there's a lot of people that, especially the ones that need the most help, don't have as readily connections to online mediums like that. So, I mean, we still do, like, you know, the billboards, and we still do mailers from time to time, things of that nature, to make sure that those physical things are still out there outside, along with the digital.
All right, we got 1 minute left. So where's your fast pitch of where people can get more information?
It's pretty simple. You can go to svdpthrift.net, and that will show you where you can get assistance. It can also has a tab on the top right corner where you can donate directly to us, and you can even select a program that you would choose. So if you wanted to go towards something specific, you can. Otherwise, you can go directly to the Needy Family Fund, where it can go pretty much anywhere to any program that we offer.
Awesome. Josh Barnicle is the Marketing and Communication Manager for St. Vincent de Paul Society of Waukesha County. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for being so generous on this Giving Tuesday.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much. We're going to take one more break and then wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Don't you worry.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 23 overnight under overcast skies. Westerly winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs around 28. Tomorrow night, lows around 16. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Thursday with highs around 35. 46 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Heart, all you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start.
Now you're getting the idea.
We've got heart. We don't care.
What is this from, Jane?
That's from Damn Yankees.
Oh.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. I've actually never seen Damn Yankees.
I haven't either.
Oh, well, there you go.
But I know the song.
That's so funny. Big news.
Yes.
USA scored 1-0. 1-0?
1-0.
1-0.
Yes, well done.
They've got 9 shots, 3 on shots on target. So
that's good.
Good first half so far. Good first half. I'm pretty bummed. I
can't watch it.
I can't. Yes, I'm pretty bummed I can't watch it because that is there is very few things that are as exciting as in sports, I think, as a goal, because it is so hard to score a goal in football. But that is very exciting. So now the updated live win probability is we are at 79% chance of winning, 16% draw, 5% Iran winning.
That makes me twitchy.
I don't know how these algorithms and stuff work.
I don't like that. So, we're taunting the football gods now.
All right, so just leave it alone.
Let's not go there.
All right. Well, it's very exciting because I would like to watch more games and not have this be the last one that I had to miss. But that was, so this is such a great show.
It really was.
Did we get any other text messages or anything? Okay, so I was trying to think if there was any other groups that got highlighted to me on any of my social media.
Or on asgoeswisconsin.com, don't forget.
Yes, and so we would love to highlight everything that got submitted today via phone, on social media, if we get any texts later, as far as organizations you would like to highlight and make sure people know about what their mission is. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Shoot us a text. If you're listening to this on a podcast, it's not too late. Once you listen to this, just shoot us an email on asgoeswisconsin@gmail.com. And we will share all that. We'll probably put it all in the blog. I will retweet, repost, share anything that I've gotten as far as things to look out for, because it's a feel-good feeling I just feel like just talking to Josh just now and all the work that they do and how good it feels to do good. And obviously monetary, I mean, and I do think that there's a trade-off between, it's one thing that all these organizations do need money, but the personal benefit, I think, also comes through volunteering. The difference of like how good you feel when you've actually
done
been of service to people versus just written a check, and kind of gained the experience of what other challenges people are going through, what help they need. So it's, I don't know. I'm ending the day feeling good.
I am too. And I thought we just had terrific guests today, including Josh, like you said. And I think this goes along with kind of Civic Media's core message about community and highlighting things in the community, highlighting needs, highlighting good things, but genuinely being an active part of the community. And that's why we are asking you to let us know, because unfortunately, we don't live in Amory as much as I might dream about living in Amory.
I feel like you would do well in Amory.
Do you think
so? I mean,
so?
I would need you back here. Like, I think it would be very hard for us to do this show if you were
in
Amory.
If I was in Amory, probably.
But I feel like I could totally see you. Because do you consider yourself a city person, or do you feel like you could do well in a remote area?
I could do okay in a smaller, you know, because Amory is not that far from the Twin Cities.
No.
So if I needed action, because, you know, I am Danger Lady.
Danger Lady Jane.
Yeah. I could always go to the Twin Cities. From Amory.
Yeah.
My home.
Your home, your future home.
I wish.
You think you'll retire there?
No. I should probably go there first before I decide whether or not I'm going to retire in Amory. But thinking about it makes me happy.
Absolutely.
I have a vision in my head for whatever odd reason.
What that would look like.
Yes. Not that I don't love Wisconsin Rapids and Oshkosh and Wausau and all the other Civic Media homes, but there's just, it's like the missionary in Book of Mormon, and his destination was Orlando.
Orlando!
No, that was his nirvana, and that's just what Amory has become for me.
Which is funny. One thing I didn't know about the Orlando airport, which I flew through to get home, they have a hotel in the airport. Why did more airports not have hotels in them, you think?
That's a really interesting question.
And I mean,
Chicago, O'Hare has the one that's, isn't there a Hyatt that's kind of right in the center of it?
Yeah, well, there's always hotels around airports, I feel like. And it's always like a Hyatt or a Hampton Inn or, you know,
something
one of those,
like,
oh, you got to stay somewhere for a night. But literally when you walk out of and I haven't been to Orlando since I was a kid. I think last time I went to Disney World, which was sixth grade or something.
Okay.
And we landed, this was on Tuesday night. So we flew from Aruba to Orlando, and there was not another flight to get back to Milwaukee. So we spent the night in Orlando, and we did not stay in the hotel in the airport. But I walked out to go to the baggage claim and looked around, and I was like, those are rooms. Like, the hotel window, like your hotel room window, looks onto the concourse, all these bustling travelers
Oh, wow.
with their rolling bags going from wherever they need to go, from the TSA to their gate or gate to baggage claim. And it was such a weird thing. But then it became, why don't more places do this? Especially if you have a layover or a delayed flight and having more kind of sleeping pod situations, because God knows, there's nothing worse than sleeping on the dirty floor of an airport while you're waiting for your flight that just keeps getting delayed.
I see,
to finally arrive.
But I think airports are intentionally designed to be uncomfortable.
Why?
I don't know. Because they don't like people? I'm not sure. Or they just don't want people sleeping and snoring all over the place? Because they could make those chairs more comfortable. They could.
Well, and they slowly are. I think there's renovations happening every once in a while. Like the San Francisco airport, that for years was my hometown airport when I lived in San Francisco. And I think I flew to Southwest a lot. And that first terminal that you flew out of for Southwest at SFO was awful.
Was it really?
It was so bad.
Really?
I think there was two restaurants, like there was two places you could get food. You know, stupidly overpriced, not very good. And there was nowhere to sit. It was constantly overcrowded. It just looked like it had been built in the 70s. So,
and it probably was.
It basically had shag carpet for wallpaper. And then I moved. And I remember years later, I flew through that terminal. And I was like, where am I? You know, all that San Francisco money, all of a sudden, they finally updated that terminal. And it was beautiful. And all the chairs had their individual outlets. So you're not like fighting with people over outlets when your computer or your phone has died, because that's what you spent playing games
right
the entire
flight
and all you've drained your entire battery doing something totally useless instead of reading that book that you brought. Not that I would know.
That doesn't sound
like me at all.
Not at all.
All right. Well, with that, that is going to do our Giving Tuesday show. Tomorrow, Greg Bach will be back. We're going to talk to Dan Schaefer. We may have a surprise. AJ Grill may join us, who is a local comedian who has a new special coming on. But we'll do it all again tomorrow. So come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We've got
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home.